The two most influential wine magazines use numbers to evaluate wines. They also write descriptions. But critics of the system say it's the numbers that people pay attention to. And they say that's a shame because it quantifies what is really an art form and gives too much power to too few people in the wine industry. NPR's John McChesney reports.
So many wines on the shelf and so little time. We've all been there. Rush into a retail store to buy a really good bottle of wine to impress a date or a boss, and do it by the numbers. That little piece of paper below the bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon, called a shelf talker, speaks numbers. The Wine Spectator gives it 93 points, and another bottle is rated 90. So you grab the 93 and head for the cash register. That number suggests great precision, almost as if a chemical probe had been inserted into the wine and a number popped up on a screen.
In fact, that degree of precision communicated is precisely one of the areas where I'm most uncomfortable with the system.
Peter Granoff was the head of Virtual Vineyards, an online wine retailer, and he's a wine expert.
We now have a generation of wine consumers here in the United States who believe that there is a statistically meaningful distinction between, say, a 94-point wine and a 95-point wine. And to anybody, any professional, I think that's, I'm struggling to find the polite word, I think it's a joke.
The most influential wine review magazines using a 100-point system are Robert Parker's Wine Advocate and The Wine Spectator. Parker says on his website that the wines he rates between 90 and 100 are the equivalent of an A, wines in the 80s rate a B, and in the 70s a C. All else gets an F. In The Wine Spectator, which has a circulation of 350,000, editor Tom Matthews describes the rating process this way.
We try to establish a methodology that gives every wine an equal and fair chance to show its best. And we taste blind in order that we won't be influenced by the name of the producer or the price of the wine.
Almost all the tastings of a particular region are done by a single editor. All California wines, for example, are tasted by one man, James Lauby.
It gives a consistency so that a reader and wine lover can then understand where that taster is coming from and what their preferences are. I mean, it's like reading a movie review. You may not agree that every movie Pauline Kael says is fantastic is great, but you know what she likes, and that's easier to make it to judge whether you will like it.
The annual Napa Valley Charity Wine Auction brings out hundreds of vintners from the region, and well-heeled bidders spend big bucks on some of the best wines in the U.S. Prices paid are often driven by the rating given to the wine by Parker or the Wine Spectator, referred to here by some wags as the Wine Dictator or the Wine Speculator. Several vintners refused to air their opinions about the numerical rating system, but others volunteered, like Andrew Schweiger.
Oh, what can I say without being bleeped? The way that these ratings are chosen are often in question. So what one person's 95 might be another 91. What it all boils down to, you take the Spectator in particular, this is a numerical rating of one man's opinion. What is wonderful to Lauby might be atrocious to a listener out there.
Others, like Doug Schaefer of Schaefer Winery, were a little more forgiving of the 100-point system.
There's so many wine labels out there and wineries, the average wine consumer doesn't know where to begin. So at least the number system, there's a place to begin. And I think that's an important service.
Many vintners we talked with said they preferred verbal descriptions of their wines rather than numbers. Joel Aiken with Beaulieu Vineyards says Parker and Lauby, who create most of the numbers for California wines, consistently prefer certain styles of wine. Parker, for example, has a reputation for liking bold, fruit bomb wines with high alcohol content.
If you like that style, then they can be a pretty good guideline.
But most consumers who see only the numbers on the shelf talkers have no idea what kinds of wine the two men prefer, unless they're readers of the magazines. And Aiken says the two men wield too much influence over California wine.
There's basically two palates that are giving a huge amount of influence to the consumer, and I wish that it was spread out over a number of publications.
But Peter Granoff has little sympathy with the winemakers' complaints. He says they themselves have helped create the influence of Robert Parker and the Wine Spectator.
Because for all of their crying and moaning about the influence of the Wine Spectator and of Parker and others, the first thing they do when they get a high score is issue a press release. And they've been doing this for years.
Granoff, himself a wine merchant, recommends that consumers find a knowledgeable wine retailer who knows their palate and pocketbook. He laments the fact that the numerical system tends to undermine people's confidence to experiment with the wide variety of available wines. So does Patrick Campbell. He's the owner of Laurel Glen Winery. He feels that the numbers have become a substitute for the knowledgeable merchant.
The way it stands now is everybody's drinking the same wine, because that's all the merchant does anymore, is put up shelf talkers on the wall and on the bottle display, and that's the seems to be the extent of the sales effort.
But in spite of all the whining, the 100-point rating system has been around for over 10 years now, and as one wine writer says, it will undoubtedly remain as long as Americans are insecure about wine. John McChesney, NPR News, San Francisco.